the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, I'm not sure if Irish bogs will ever draw as many influencers as maybe Santorini or Colombia's Bogota or somewhere like that, but there's certainly a very real and deep beauty in them. At this time of year, as some families are stacking and footing their yearly supplies of turf, others are drawing inspiration from the bog in other ways, as Shifra Mulqueen has been finding out.
Our unfenced country is bog that keeps crusting between the sights of the sun.
As the crow flies, I'm only 2 fields from the bog. Where you're proud to be a bog man, it's still used in a derogatory phrase. But c'est la vie, you know, we are who we are. I'm not ashamed of it. It's such a part of Ireland and part of who we are.
Sorrow, sorrow, bang in the morning.
Brian O'Loughlin is a sculptor and creator of Irish Bog Oak. He's based on the edge of the Bog of Allen.
Bog Oak was formed in around 5,000 years ago. And it was as the bogs began to develop, the tree died and actually fell over into the bog and then sank down to the bottom. So it's naturally darkened. Over time, it rises up. A reincarnation of the same thing, but yet everything else has changed. I actually like going for a walk in the bog. It's also, I suppose, like a treasure hunt. Like, you've got the peat is very dark, but when the bog oak comes to the surface, sometimes you just have a little small piece sticking through. It actually gets very kind of white and just bleached by the sun. You just know. There's a little bit of drama in the middle of the bog. I'd always bring a little penknife with me and I'd just peel off the surface off it. You'd see the blackness of the bog oak. You get excited because you know you're the first person to come across it in 5,000 years. You could see everything, or you could just see it's like the tip of an iceberg. You go to move it or shift it, and it could be 15 feet long. To me, it's an unpolished diamond. When I'm working with the bog oak, it is actually black dust, an awful lot of it, and I am fairly permanently dirty. It's very hard to work. And it's not structurally sound. So you're working alongside it. You're not the boss.
I spent a lot of time in Africa, in Botswana, living by the Makadikadi salt pans. You have massive herds of zebra. You have hundreds of thousands of flamingos. It really influenced my photography because I was taught how to see out there. I was taught how to use all the senses, because when I was working in the safari industry, once you were out of a vehicle, you were part of the food chain.
From Botswana to Burr, nature photographer and self-proclaimed bog trotter, Tina Claffey decided to focus her work closer to home.
The bogs are teeming with colour and life. It really blew my mind because what I was looking at was just a whole other wilderness. Like a micro wilderness, a wilderness as important as where I was. It's only when you slow down that kind of nature reveals herself to you, you know? Sometimes I just go out and sit and with my camera, and all of the little fauna might have disappeared while you lie down, but then they'll all reemerge. They'll reemerge out of their little hidey holes and realize, oh, there's no threat here, and they'll carry on with their day, and that's when you capture the magic. I'm pointing at one thing and I'm taking a photograph and I turn the lens and I see something else. It's like I'm falling almost, like falling down the rabbit hole, almost like Alice in Wonderland, like through that looking glass as I'm looking through that lens. One of my favourite things to photograph are sundews. I could just photograph them forever because they're tiny little carnivores. They capture little midges or tiny little flies, and they have these tentacles that fan out. The end of each tentacle, there's a little droplet, and that droplet is sweet. So when they land on it, they think they've landed in heaven, but they've actually landed in hell because what they've landed on is like super glue. The milkwort is a tiny little flower. To me, it looked like a bird about to take flight. I love to capture bog cotton. It's almost dreamy. I usually just focus on one little part of it and let the rest all go into kind of soft focus. So you get this dreamy kind of cloudy effect. It actually took my breath away when I looked through the lens, because to look at it with my naked eye, it didn't look like anything, you know. I do love early mornings because you get the morning dew, usually clinging to the backs of insects. Oh, the dragonflies are amazing. See, dragonflies spend most of their lives under the water, some of them up to 5 years underwater. And then when they emerge, they crawl up a reed, and they're the most efficient predator of the sky in the bog. With their four wings, they're able to fly forwards, backwards, sideways, up to 50 kilometres an hour. They're incredible.
If I was to describe the soundtrack of the bog, I'm going to close my eyes to try and put myself there. I'd probably hear the cuckoo bird flying overhead, the sound of like walking on the actual surface of the landscape. It feels a little bit bouncy, like you're walking on a giant sponge. On the days when it's particularly waterlogged, it has a sort of squelching effect, which is quite satisfying to listen to.
Performance maker Luke Casserly has created the Distillation Project, opening the window to the Irish bog through scent.
I made the project in response to the cessation of the peat harvesting industry in 2020. Well, as someone who grew up on the bog, I wasn't a huge fan, I'm not going to lie. I used to think of the landscape as a sort of wasteland. When the pandemic started to happen, I moved back to Longford. I suppose during that time I had a bit of a renaissance around the bog, you know. I think they've kind of become cool again. Yeah, one of the interesting things that I discovered was in all of the world's bogs combined, there's actually more carbon stored than all of the world's rainforests combined, which I find like mind-blowing.
The fumes of peat or a turf fire has the power to transport us anywhere, something Luke has discovered when bringing his project across the US.
It was really lovely because we got to bring the project to lots of Irish people who are based in America. And it was actually quite emotional as well, because I met a lot of people who haven't actually been back to Ireland because of various circumstances. We go on such a like wild journey every time in terms of the olfactory associations people have with the scent. Like, I remember one person said that it took them to a forest, one that they used to visit a lot when they were younger in North Carolina. And somebody else said that it reminded them really distinctly of their grandfather's toolbox in his shed in Leitrim in the 1980s.
While their hearts are in the bog now, as children they were less keen, especially when they had to foot turf.
Midges, once it got to a certain time, they would come out and you'd be eaten alive.
I'll be honest with you, feckin' hated it. And obviously, there's no way we're going out without the TK lemonade. When there were sandwiches being made, we weren't really that happy because that meant we were going for a long day. You know?
Well, I'm actually a townie. We used to go and visit our cousins a lot, just on the border of Offaly and Westmeath. We had a small plot there. We would be always promised, oh, we're going to see our cousins. And we'd be all piled into the car and off we go. And we'd be getting closer and closer to the turnoff. And suddenly we would see that we were gone by the turnoff where our cousins were. And then we'd all turn to each other and go, we're going to the bog. If someone had turned around to me when I was 8 and said, when you get older, you're going to end up in the bog and you're going to spend so much time there and you're going to love it, I would have said, go away or that. With me awfully accent and all.
She from O'Queen reporting there.